strange folks come about. And the Bible said, Luke says, they showed us no little kindness. In other words, they went out the way for us. The word kindness in the Greek is the word philanthropion, which means, you know, where we get the word philanthropy, where we do nice things in the community for people, for humanity, where we work and we show our love toward humanity. This is what those people did. When they found them, he says, look at this. He said that they received us, everyone. They didn't discriminate. Sound like the church, huh? The church shouldn't what? We should receive everyone. And he said, because of the present rain, because they had been in a storm, because of the cold, because they could not stand against the elements of where they was, they said, look, we have a place for you. And the church should be the same way. We should meet people and they come in strangers, but we treat them like family. We should make sure that they come out of the rain and out of the cold into a warm place where they feel the warmth of God's love. Do I have any witnesses here? So he says now, and when Paul was gathering, Paul, look at God's power. We've seen God's providence and we've seen God's favor because he saved them. But let's look at God's power. It says, when Paul was gathering a bundle of sticks, because these people had built a fire already.
All right.
And you see, somebody builds a fire for us, but it's up to us to keep it burning.
Yeah.
But instead of us keeping it burning, we complain about it going out when we're the ones supposed to keep it burning.
Yeah.
Oh, come on and say amen. If you complaining about the song service and you ain't up praising God yourself, you need to keep your mouth shut.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my...
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
The words of the late, great Dr. Caesar A.W. Clark, I want to get some fresh water from an old well. found in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. And it simply says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, and we know. That's all I want to talk about today. And we know. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. My brother, my sister, this is a very familiar text. And I pray that none allow the familiarity of the text to cause your mind to wander before getting this fresh word that we have prepared today. There are some things about the text that I think is so important for us to understand as Paul pens this letter to the Romans. It is important to understand the context around the text that sets up the support system for the text. And it helps us to understand that all of the things that Paul has spoken in this eighth chapter, and many of them in previous chapters, is what he now projects in this thought of, and we know. One of the things that I think is so important about this very word is to understand that the setting sets the stage for those of us who have an experience with God. This is for folk who know God. This text is for those who have experience with God. This text is for those who have been in a place and who have dealt with situations, and it's been dark and it's been stormy and it's been rough and it's looked like no way out. It's been a place where you've been by yourself. It's been a place where there was no seemingly help or light in that dark place, but God stepped in and worked it out even before you could figure it out. And there is a confidence that is here in the text that I hope and pray the believers would claim as their own before they leave here today. And we know. This word know embodies more than the definition of knowledge or to know something. First of all, it means to know experientially, meaning it's been your experience that what we're talking about is something you know about firsthand. You see, a whole lot of folk like to talk good talk, but they've never had the walk to bring it to pass. A lot of folk love the wonderful testimonies, but they've not had the test themselves. A lot of folk like to get in front of folk and talk about the Lord will make a way, but they ain't never been in a situation where they've had to trust him to do it. And so this community of believers is important to understanding that to be a part of this, you've got to say, and we know experientially, which means you could put my story right in the text. You can put my test in the testimony. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I've gone through myself. I've been there and done that. But not only this word know reveals experientially the word know, but then expectationally is revealed in the word know. Because first of all, when he says, and we know, he's talking to experienced folk who know it ain't over till it's over. And just because you've been delivered out of one thing don't mean you ain't going through another thing. And because God has seen you through some of the darkest days of your life don't mean that stormy weather isn't ahead. But here is the expectation that what he delivered me out of the past, he can do it again. Have I got somebody to talk to me in the church here today? My expectation is what I've been through once, the same God who brought me through that will bring me through this. Expectational. But listen at this, my brothers and sisters. This is so important because when the believer begins to understand how important this word know is, it embodies so much more than just head knowledge. Listen, we get excited about this word know. Why do we get excited about it? Because we can put emphasis. So not only do we know experientially, not only do we know as we expect what God said he'll do again, expectational, but we know emphatically. Listen, what do we know emphatically? That the God that we serve has given us experiences so rich that we're not talking what we heard. We're talking what we know. And so we're emphatic about it because of the experiences we never would have made it out of had God not been by our sides. And so our confidence is not so much in us, but in the God that we serve, who knows us and our situation and will not put more on us than we can bear. And so as a reality, if we go through something, we know God has a greater purpose than what it may appear to be. And so when we know this, we also know that all things work together for good. Now listen, if we were reading this grammatically, it would sound like this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, comma, to them who are the called according to his purpose, period. But when we read this to examine the pearls in the text that bring, that yield to us the principles that we can practice, know is one of them. But then when we look at this word work, it's important to understand that the Bible says that all things work. Here's another pearl. All things work together for good. Now, what I need you to understand is the whole term literally means engineered excellence. You catch that when you wake up. Engineered excellence. Turn to your neighbor and say, all things work together for good is engineered excellence. Somebody say, yeah, I got it. Yeah. All right. Let me explain it to you. If God has engineered all things, talking about for the believer, that work together for good, then how does he deal with the stuff that's no good? How does he deal with the stuff that is ill affecting the good? How does he deal with the rain and the sunshine? How does he deal with the darkness and the day? How does he deal with everything that seems contrary to the end result? Well, here's this word work. The actual deeper meaning of the word work means worketh or working. So here's what you've got to understand. Because God has so ordered this thing to end up good, the work never stops until the bad becomes the good, until the wrong becomes the right. until the low becomes the high, until the crooked becomes the straight. Are y'all hearing me here? The work has to keep on going until it ends up good. That's why when you're going through some stuff and you're looking at it and it looks mighty bad, you need to be able to have the confidence of saying, it ain't over yet. It's still working under the scenes. It's still working behind the scenes. It's still working in the unseen because it's not yet good. God has engineered this thing for excellence. If you look up the deeper meaning of good, one of the words you're going to find there is excellent. And what you're going to understand is that God has placed good in multi-levels. There's low good, medium good, and excellent good. Now, all of that comes out of your relationship with Him. Let me help you understand again that all things work. All things work. Everything that's in it works. You've heard the illustration before. You're baking a cake. You take butter. You take flour. You take vanilla extract. You take this. You take that. You put all of that in. You put a little salt in it. You might put sugar. Whatever it is. Let's say you put 5 ingredients. Depending on the cake it is, it may be 10 ingredients. Let's say it's only 3 ingredients. Whatever it is that's in the bowl, when they get to mixing it, they're working together. Now, they went in individually. One might have been put in here, the other might have been put over there, the other might have been dropped in there, and they may all have their several places. But the mixing hadn't come. The mixing is the process by which the work takes place. And so, if it was an old hand beater, then they'd sit down with the bowl and beat it with the hand. I was never forget when I was a little boy, I used to watch my grandmother make cakes. Every now and then, she'd say, boy, beat this while I go check the stove. And I'd sit down there with the bowl and I'd take that spoon and I'd beat it. But then I've learned that when she had multiple cakes to make, she'd used her mixer or her blender. And beat the bill and beat all of that stuff together. And everything that was individual, the yellow butter, the white flour, the dark colored vanilla, and all the rest of that, when they all blended together, they were one solid color. And everything that was separate worked together for the flavor she knew would come out in the end. And my brothers and sisters, one of the things you got to know, I don't know how she knew it, but she knew when it was ready to go into the fire. If I would beat it and I'd say, it's enough, she said, no, that's got lumps in it. Or it has air in it, or whatever the case is. She would know exactly when it was. The same with God. God makes work continue on in a continuous fashion until that thing ends up being good. Now, why is this important? Well, here's what you'll understand. You'll stop getting so timid and so fearful and so fretful about every little thing that happens if it doesn't happen the way you want it to happen. You stop whining and crying and getting on the phone and telling everybody this and telling everybody that and going through this and going through that because things aren't going your way. You start learning to understand that God has a greater plan for me. Maybe right now He's not revealed it all to me, but one of the things I do know is that I'm in the plan. And if I'm in the plan, He's allowing all of these things to have its several part in the process to work out for my good. It's been engineered for excellence. That means I've just got to keep the faith and keep the hope that until this thing is over, I know God is in the midst of working it out. Listen. Now, He says, to them that love God.
This is exclusive entitlements. This is only to them. That's love. God. Well, what does it say? It's not to the world. It's not just to the church. Because you got some folk in church who do not love God. It's clear by their living. It's clear by their giving. It's clear by their service. It's clear by their worship. They're just there. For what? I don't know. But they don't love God. So it's not for everybody in church or everybody on church rolls or people who sit in ministries and who are not ministering. It's not for some position you hold or some group you're in. It's for those who love God. This is exclusive entitlement. What does that mean? You can tell me all you want. You love the Lord. He knows. And he's not going to allow this process of engineered excellence to work for you if you don't love him. Are you listening to me? Your name can be on Greater King David's roll, but if it's not in the Lamb Book of Life, and God knows you love him, this ain't for you. You're claiming a promise that's for those who exclusively love the Lord. Those are the entitlements for them. That all things work together for good to them that love God. Listen, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, you're talking about executive election. Why is it executive election? Well, the word says called. Who you think made the call? God did. You didn't call him. He called you. And when he called you, he called you for a purpose. Not any purpose, but his purpose. Don't get it twisted. He didn't call you to ask you your purpose, because you don't know your purpose for what his purpose is for creating your life. When you knew anything, you were here. When you knew anything, they had to tell you your name. When you knew anything, they had to tell you when you were born. Are y'all hearing me here? So you didn't know your purpose. You didn't know when you got here, what time you got here. And when you got here, you didn't know what you were to do here. Matter of fact, those who had you didn't know. Some of y'all don't understand that what purpose God had for you, it was for his glory and your good. According to his purpose. We miss the blessing of truly understanding why we go through things. Us going through stuff really ain't got nothing to do with us for us. It's us for him. He made us so that what we go through, because he made us, know what's in us, know what's all about us, surrounding us, that we can deal with, that we cannot deal with. He gave us tests that would bring out the best in us and bring glory to his name, but better your life when it was through. See, some folk don't understand that when God brought you here, it wasn't so you could have a life of rally. So you can just walk around acting like every day was sunny and howdy and no clouds and no troubles and no trials. You were just a child of God and every day was just an easy, sunshiny day. No. You're here to prove that God is who he say he is. And to everyone he has called, the purpose of their calling will be revealed in the earth realm. So if he don't send you through stuff, who's he gonna send it through? If he don't give you a test, who is he gonna test? If he's not preparing you for heaven life, who is he preparing? If you're not a witness to be able to talk of his goodness and share his mercy and grace, well, who's going to be that? And so God wants you to understand his purpose for your life is to bring him glory. Not so you can go around here bragging on yourself, you got this and you got the favor of God. Yeah, but you got to do something for the favor of God. Like please him. When you please him, then the favor of God is all over you. But you can't think that he brought you here to make you this, that, and the other so that you be worshiped. Jesus said, I didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister. Now, if the Son of God didn't come here to be ministered to, who are you? Who are you? If you're anything at all, you're a servant. You're a minister. You're one called by God to show forth his love in the earth realm, to show forth his power in the earth realm, to show forth his purpose in the earth realm. Stop whining and crying about what you go through. What you go through is for his glory. Ever wonder why there are some things you go through and you know some folk ain't never been through what you've been through? That's because he didn't call them to go through what you're going through. He's giving them another course. Every one of us have an individual customized course. Listen, and God has done the customizing. When I looked up this word purpose, and I'm closing, it referenced the showbread in the Old Testament. Exodus 25 and 35 and many of the other chapters and verses. But the whole purpose of the 12 loaves of the showbread was to sit in the sanctuary. 12 loaves representing the 12 tribes of Israel, the spiritual people of God. They represented two things. One, they represented the face of God, the presence of God, that God would provide. But it also meant that God was present. So now, if the showbread was there to show that God was present, the showbread would sit there for 7 days. After 7 days, they'd bake seven fresh loaves and replace those seven with the freshly baked 12. After 7 days, they put 12 fresh loaves of bread after 7 days, and then the priest would eat the showbread, because it is suggested that the face of God was in that bread. And when they ate that bread, that they were communing with God. It is suggested that it was the words of Jesus's prayer in the Old Testament, give us this day our daily bread. But here, my brothers and sisters, our purpose in today's time, as was the showbread, is to show forth God's presence and provision in our lives. Whatever we go through, whatever we deal with, it shows that God is present with us and that God provides for us. So if God is present with us, it means there's nothing that we go through he doesn't see. He doesn't know. He doesn't understand. God sees it all. He knows it all. He's in control of it all. And then when he knows that we can't handle anymore, he steps in and provides whatever it is we need, so that in the end, when this process is over, God, listen, gets the glory. We get the good. God wants us to understand that is the purpose for our lives. Stop thinking that it's supposed to be heaven here. That's not what it's all about. And so when Paul says, and we know, he said, we ain't no baby Christians here. We used to trouble.